Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for meditation that we're going to focus on today is from that passage that we just heard, but focusing specifically on this verse. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So as I saw the few number of kids up front here, as I was going to start this with, hey, moms, it kind of maybe slows things down for the recollection of how this is going to work. But I want you to think about this, especially for moms or and dads and others here. Think about a mom. It's a Saturday morning, kind of like yesterday, beautiful day. The sun is shining. It's probably the best day of the summer. And you, mom, are planning the perfect Saturday. Maybe we're going to go to the lake, have this great picnic. You got this great thing planned for the family. But before you can go, you've got this list of things that needs to be done. It's not a huge list, but it's a list nonetheless. And so what do you do? 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. What are you going to do? You're going to call the kids, right? Hey, kids, I've got a list of things for you to do. Please, come down. Come downstairs. Help out. Let's get this stuff knocked out. You listen? They're running to help, right? The silence is deafening. So you call again. You know, this list, you know it's only going to take an hour to do. Maybe a half hour if everybody's really on the ball. But if you do it yourself, it's going to take 4 or 5 hours. Maybe. And by the time you get it all done, you're probably not going to be in the mood really to go picnic to the lake, whatever it is. It's just going to kind of, you know, why bother with the rest of the day? So you call down again, hey, kids, I've got some things for you to do. And you know, these things aren't menial tasks. These are things that are important. These are things that, you know, in the greater scheme of life, teach some good lessons. They're going to teach teamwork, working together with the family. They're going to teach some really important things. You know, how about when you're all done, the accomplishment, the reward, the prize at the end, going to the lake, having lots of fun, right? So hey, kids, come on down. I've got something for you guys to do. Anybody coming? No. Yeah, guys, I know you can do this. I know you hear me. You know, you all have special gifts and abilities, and the list isn't going to be that difficult. I've got things for you to do. Finally, you hear somebody calling, right? Except it's the 18-month-old who's really not that helpful, as you could see up front a little bit ago. God, our Father, is a lot like that mom, isn't he? Hasn't he called us to do some specific things, some things that he has gifted us with some great abilities to do, but sometimes we're just not hearing that call. We're just not listening to what he has for us in our life. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. We're going to talk about that today and how he has gifted us each and called us to do that thing. And as we listen in Ephesians here, you know, we often focus on ourselves though. We think about ourselves as individuals. We want to live our life the way we want to live it, and sometimes we think we don't need help. We can do it on our own. We can do it by ourselves. You know, that's a big mistake. God shares with us in Ephesians here that we are the body of Christ working together. And he's appointed Christ as the head of that body. You know, I once heard a comedian tell a joke about the headless horseman. You know, the headless horseman must have really hated it as a kid when he was growing up, and he kept making mistakes and getting into stupid things, and his mother would come and scold him and says, what were you thinking? Did you lose your head again? Well, that's kind of funny. You can grow in a little bit, right? Did you lose your head again, headless horseman? Okay. You don't have to be a doctor to understand that the head is an important part of the body. A body can't function without the head. Now, the headless horseman, we all know, isn't real, and the only other place you might see a body functioning without a head is in a zombie movie, which we know is completely not right. It's the head that moves and directs our body. It gives us direction. It gives us knowledge. Without the head, the body is useless, right? Well, God has appointed Christ as the head of our body. And you don't have to be a pastor or a great theologian or somebody that's really studying the Word to understand why Paul is describing Christ as the head of the church. Everything is dependent on Him. We could try really hard to do a lot of really nice things, right? We could try real hard to set up an organization that's going to go out and clean up the neighborhoods and organize some great things. And in themselves, those are nice things to do. But we hear in the Bible earlier on that these things don't please a righteous and holy God. In fact, He says all of our righteous acts on our own are like filthy rags. We need Christ to be there, to be our head, guiding and directing us. The only way to Christ is through the head. The only way to heaven is through Christ, the head. Only He can make us holy. Only He can give us that pureness, that righteousness that we strive for. Christ died on the cross to take away that punishment so we don't have to suffer. He then rose again on the third day as a visible assurance that He has power over death. We can know that Christ has power and He's risen on that third day and is up in heaven ready for us. But you know what? He's not a leader that's absent. He's not one that's up on His throne saying, I'm up in heaven enjoying the spoils. But no, He's here participating with us. He's attentive to the needs of the body, us, His church. And to do that, He gave us some special people to be working together. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. That's what we just heard in the lesson, isn't it? These are divinely instituted forms of public ministry that we hear Jesus and through Paul giving us. But does this mean that only certain people are allowed to go out and do God's work? Does that mean that only these apostles and evangelists, pastors and teachers are the ones that need to have this privilege? That there's only certain people that can do that? Absolutely not. Every part of the human body has a function. Every part of the body, when you talk about the human body, has a role. You have fingers, you have feet, you have knees and toes, pituitary glands, hearts, all sorts of parts of our body that have special roles. But they're all different, right? It's interesting, when you listen to the verse here, it says, from the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We build each other up by what we do in Christ. When we find our work and do our work, by God's power we grow in love, and we can help others grow in love as well. Which is why God gave us leaders like He did. And He's given us some pretty fantastic leaders here at this congregation, hasn't He? When we think of Pastor Brian as our spiritual leader, giving us vision and direction. When we think of our church council that's here to help us with our temporal matters. When we think of the elders that are here to lead us and guide us and direct us in the spiritual things of this congregation. God has blessed us with different parts of the body of Christ here at this congregation. We're so blessed that God has given our congregation great leaders. But it doesn't stop there. Over the last couple weeks, Pastor Brian and I have both encouraged and pushed and directed, saying, invite your friends and neighbors. Share Jesus with your friends. Share Jesus with people that you don't know. Build relationship. Let your light shine and help others to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Our lesson today underscores some of these very important aspects. Going back to our text, we're reminded of these important words. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. Sometimes we'll listen to these words and we'll think, well, just those four people, pastors and teachers, evangelists, apostles, are the ones that need to do the work, right? But what does it say? What are those last words in that verse that we so often ignore? Some to be pastors, some to be teachers, to do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. Not that the pastors are doing all the work, not that the teachers are doing all the work, not that the apostles and evangelists are doing all the work of God, but they're there to direct the rest of us to do the service of God. Going back to the text, we hear those words, from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Interesting. So right before this, Paul shares God's word and describes the head being Christ, that from Christ the head we receive direction and wisdom. But that then he recognizes one other part of the body. What's that part of the body? Were you listening? It's the... Oh, come on. I've said it like three times now. What's the other body part? Not the head, but a ligament. Okay? You've been listening a little bit, right? So what body part is that other part? The ligament. Now, I thought that was really curious. Why would God mention a ligament? If it were me talking about a body part, I might think, okay, Christ is the head. What part would I want to be? Would I want to be the mouth sharing God's word? Or the ear listening to what he has to say? Or maybe fingers doing his works? Or his feet carrying out the process? Or the heart pumping the lifeblood through the congregation? Right? But no, God talks about the ligaments. That's a body part we talk about all the time, right? Ligaments? Well, to get a clearer picture, what is a ligament? So I looked in some of these medical journals online and tried to find the one that made the most sense without all the medicalese in it. And we hear that a ligament is a tough band of fibrous tissue that connects bone to bone or bone to cartilage and supports and strengthens joints. The main function of ligaments are to keep the bones of the skeleton in proper alignment and prevent abnormal movement of the joints. So ligaments keep things in unity, working together. Now I can tell you firsthand, when a ligament is torn and not working the way it's supposed to, it's not a good thing. A couple years back, I tore my ACL, anterior cruciate ligament. That's in your knee. And there's another ligament that's also holding it in the MCL. But what that did, when I tore my ligament in my knee, every time I stepped, it was very painful. But the other part of it was that my knee felt it could go in any direction. It felt very unstable. It wasn't secure. It wasn't in unity with the rest of my body. It felt, and it might not have been true, but it felt like at any moment I could just collapse if I tried to take a step. Well, God here shares that in his word, he describes that we all have different parts, and he specifically labels that we can be parts of the ligament, working together in unity. In unity. And earlier in the text, he talks about one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. When we talk about being the ligament to help keep things in line, in order, in unity, keeping the structure together of the church. That is something we all can be part of. When we think about the unity that we can all be in together, we can think of the unity visibly and both invisibly. When you think about the visible unity of the congregation, when we do something as a church together, when we reach out, maybe it was like the gas buy-down. Maybe it's when we work together on a certain project. I think about how this Upward Camp is going to be working together as a congregation to share the love of Jesus with a bunch of kids. It takes all sorts of hands and feet, all sorts of mouthpieces, all sorts of body pieces to keep this camp working to share Jesus' love with these kids. I think of somebody like Kevin that's going to get up at before 6 o'clock to be able to be at Washington Christian at 6:30 to help set things up. I think of Bob and others that are going to come to help organize things and get things ready for these kids. When I think of the coaches, they're going to be the mouthpiece of God sharing Jesus' love. When I think of the nurses in the nurses' tents, those moms that are going to care for these kids, these are all the hands and feet of God working together for one purpose. That's a visible unity of the church working together to do what? Share the love of God. You know, on Thursday night, I'm just going to put a shameless plug in here. We're going to meet together. I'm going to be here. And hopefully a bunch of you guys are going to be here to talk about how we can share Jesus' love as a body together with the students at EMU. We're going to work together to plan a ministry plan. If you come to this meeting, it doesn't mean you're tied to have to do something, that you're tied to this ministry, that you're absolutely going to be part of this thing. But I'm looking for ideas, working together, how we can plug in, working together as the body of Christ to share the love of Jesus with these kids at Eastern Michigan University, how we can be there to support them and guide them through this important time in life when they are making their decisions and who they're going to be, how they're going to work in life. Pray about how God has called you in this ministry. Pray about how God has called you to be his hands and his feet, his ligaments, what part of the body has he called you to do? And has he called you to be part of that ministry, reaching out to these kids right across the street from our church building? Let's be the visible hands and feet. Let's be the visible body of Christ sharing his love with these students across the street. Invisibly, the body of Christ happens in so many different ways when the Spirit works through us and with us. We have the Holy Spirit, God's gift to everyone who believes in Jesus. We all share it, but we don't always see how we are true believers. We don't always see the unity that's visible to the naked eye, but only to God. We all partake of that one hope that he talks about, that hope that we have in the promise of the resurrection, that promise that we know that Jesus did die on the cross for us, and that later on when we go to him in prayer and we ask him to forgive us our sins, we have that hope that we know that we will be forgiven. And through that forgiveness, we can celebrate that we're going to be up in heaven. Together, we all have the gospel, and in that we can celebrate that one Lord that he talks about, the one Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that did die on that cross. Some folks don't always believe in that. They believe that they can get to heaven by doing the right things. If I work hard enough and get the right things done, I will go to heaven. But we know through the Bible that's not right. There's only one way to heaven is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the belief that he did die on the cross for us, that he did take away that punishment that we deserved. We do have that one Lord, and we confess that one faith that we're going to do right here after the sermon. We're going to confess the one faith that we do have, knowing that we will have a place up in heaven with him. We can have that faith together. Later on in that passage, we hear how Paul says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." We need that grace, that undeserved love, because we do fall short. If we decide, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go out, I'm going to have this ministry plan, I'm going to go out and I'm going to share this, I'm going to do that, we're going to fall short. Because we need to have Christ guiding us as the head, giving us direction, and we need to follow his direction. And we need that grace, that undeserved love that he does give us. We need that love, and knowing that. The greatest work has to start here, though, as a body of Christians together. How can we support and strengthen each other so that the body of Christ can grow? Start by prayer. We can pray together. We can speak the truth in love at all times. We heard that in that passage, didn't we? Interesting, as I was driving to church this morning, it was pretty early, and I heard something on the radio. It said they did a study, and I found this pretty humorous, but it's a very accurate study. They actually reported on this, believe it or not. People that tell the truth are happier. Can you believe it? It kind of makes sense. It's pretty obvious. But Paul here underscores that again. Speak the truth in love. Sometimes we shy away from things that we don't want to say because it might hurt somebody's feelings. But if it's the truth, we should share that truth. Speak the truth in love. Like it or not, we don't live alone. We're here in the body of Christ. And that is something we can celebrate and be excited about. We are joined together in one body, joined by Jesus. We are the body of Christ working together for the purpose of sharing his love, strengthening others, strengthening all those together. By God's grace, let's work together to be the strongest body that we can be. Amen. In that knowledge of the truth,